we've had a wide range of speakers during the session, and my mom pointed out this morning that the last 4 weeks have been the child parent series. I don't know if you remember. We had Amy, she spoke, and then her dad, Pastor Appleby, spoke, and then my son spoke, and now I'm speaking. So I don't know. Maybe Kevin's grandson has to speak next week or something. I don't know. I think Tom's speaking next week, if I remember right. But anyway, my name, Brad Merck. I teach right here at Emerald Ridge, right up at the top of the stairs. You go down a little ways down the hallway, room 207. How many of you went to an information meeting that was in my classroom? Wow, look at that. Yeah, Andy Sturtevant. I actually had to do a little discipline with Andy Sturtevant in there, tell him to pay attention. Principal Sturtevant, you know, told me you got to crack down on him. So that's where I'm at. And, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I'm really a glass half full person, but I'm just like everybody else. I can get into a little bit of complaining. And it's kind of interesting if you think about kind of our local complaining that we do. Weather. I love that one. Okay, we complain about the weather. But you think about it logically and rationally. Think about this. We also brag about how beautiful it is here. Oh, so beautiful. It's green. It's wonderful. Plenty of water, all kinds of activities, snow in the mountains. And I love it when skiers particularly, they complain about the rain here, while at the same time, they're just going on and on about how much snow. It's great. We got so much snow. It's kind of like you want to say, you do understand if it snows there, it's going to rain here. Or we complain about that we have too much rain. And then the years where we have low levels of rain. I was just reading the paper. It's more, how many nerds like me read the this many years in history in the Tacoma paper every day? Yeah, that's my boy right there. Yeah, Paul. Yeah, and today it said that there was city of Tacoma on this date was telling people they could only water their lawns one time a week because we'd had such low rainfall. And you know, people would have been complaining about that weather. Doesn't matter. It's always the weather. The other one I like, a couple of them, is South Hill. Complaints about South Hill. Right now, too much building. There is too much building going on. And all of us who live in a house on South Hill, we act like the perfect time to end building was when they built our house. There's too many people. You got old-timers like Melita. And she says, I'm not kidding you. Actually, Lynn said it first, and then she repeated it. I remember when they cut down the trees for the old Safeway. Okay, if you know the old Safeway, you're kind of there as an old-timer. But if you remember seeing the trees come down, you've been around a long time, lady. Okay. And, oh, the traffic. How about the traffic? Meridian. The traffic. Isn't it ironic we're complaining about the traffic while we're sitting in a car that is contributing to the traffic? But that's different because we have a good reason to be on the road. All these other people, or we complain that Pierce County didn't build the roads right, as if, not joking, in Melita, back when you were a teenager, if they said they were going to put in a 5-lane road on Meridian, that people said they're nuts. And of course, we complain about it. So all kinds of complaints. Now, one of the places that we complain very often is in our jobs. And I'm not immune from that. You know, we just, in the Puyallup School District, I'm not sure at all levels, but in the high school levels, all the high schools just got a big technology upgrade. And if you've been in the classrooms recently, and I mean within the last month here, we got new flat panel screens, we got new computers. I mean, I can swipe something from, I can go three screens if I want in my classroom, right up on it. It's wonderful stuff. And already we're complaining about it because it's not perfect, right? Well, I remember a few weeks ago, it wasn't about technology, but I was having, let's just stop calling this complaining. Let's call it information exchanges with people, right? Information exchanges. And I was exchanging information with a fellow teacher before school, complaining. And in class that day, my class was doing the book Unbroken. And you've either read the book or seen the movie or both, about Louis Zamperini, Olympic athlete as a high schooler. And then if you haven't ever seen or know the story, I'll just say it real quickly. His plane goes down the Pacific for 47 days. He's marooned in the water, gets captured by the Japanese, goes through horrendous things in prisoner of war camp. It's unbelievable. The great part of the story is what happens to him after that. His life goes right down the tubes, down the toilet, and then Jesus Christ comes into his life. And the story of his life is fantastic. When you add Jesus Christ into it, it just becomes phenomenal. So we were reading that in class, and I had read the book a few years ago, and what I do with my students is I'll read a chapter, and then I'll assign a chapter to them. And so it's kind of alternating. So I'm kind of reading the book 1.5 times, you know, because I've got 2 classes. And so we were on chapter 38. Now, remember, I had read the book. I've been through it, but I didn't really document it in terms of why I want to skip and go alternate chapters. It just so happened that we got there. So we're in chapter 38. And remember, I've been complaining this morning. And it tells a story when Louis was living in L.A. with his wife. And his life was terrible and her life was terrible. And they had a baby. And she went to see Billy Graham. Many of you who remember the story of Billy Graham, where he really hit national prominence, was a crusade in Los Angeles. It just so happened they were about ready to shut the thing up. It just wasn't going real well, and they just felt like they needed to keep going, and it started exploding. They literally had the tent with the sawdust. And Louis, after his wife, we'll just say nags, okay? She nags. He goes just to get her off his back. The first night, he feels something, but he literally runs out. The second night, Louis knows there's something different going on here. And one of the great things that happened was when Louis was in a life raft in the Pacific, literally dehydrating to death, they saw clouds come, and he told God, he said, God, if you bring the rain that'll allow us to survive, I'll dedicate my life to you. Well, he ran out of the tent that night in Los Angeles, and it was raining. It hadn't rained, and they hadn't predicted rain. And he accepted Jesus Christ that night. But the great thing about this was what happened on that day to me is I had been complaining in the morning, and then I stand up there and I'm reading this, and in the book, maybe you've read it, you remember this, verbatim, Billy Graham sermon, word for word. Talk about the woman who was brought in adultery before Jesus, and where he says, whoever is without sin casts the first stone. And I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, this is great. This is the curriculum of the Puyallup School District, and I am reading Billy Graham's sermon word for word. And we got to the second class, and I started kind of sounding like Billy Graham. You need to, and I thought we'd, you know, I'd have Bev over there singing Just As I Am, you know, right after, if you know what I'm talking about, the old Billy Graham Crusades. And I realized that day what I need to have gratitude for where I'm at. I just was able to share Jesus Christ with these kids, and as part of the curriculum. And yet I've been complaining that morning about some little tiny thing that didn't really matter. It really didn't. And that got me thinking about, in my own life, where that's at. Now, if we look at the Bible, I'm just going to go through some real quick examples that may be familiar to you, maybe not. We're not going to look at them in Scripture, but just some examples of people who had things happen to them, yet their gratitude still shows through, their gratitude for God. Moses, he was God's boy. God said, I am going to use you to lead my people to the promised land. 40 years, Moses dealt with that. But Moses made a mistake. They needed water. God told them where they'd get the water, and he said, speak to a rock. And Moses had a staff that worked some pretty good stuff, and he decided to add a little to it and tapped on the rock. And God said, Moses, you know what? You're still my boy, but you will not go into the promised land. You'll get to see it, but you won't go into it. Now, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 33, right at the end of 32, it talks about Moses not being able to go in the promised land. 33 follows up with a beautiful, you want to call it a psalm? It's Moses extolling the glories of God, even though he didn't get everything that he thought he was going to get, yet he conveyed to everybody how great God was. There's 2 blind men in a story when Jesus walks by on a road, found in Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus heals their blindness. Now, what's amazing in this is he tells them specifically, it says very clearly, sternly, in our translation of the Bible we have here, not to tell anybody. Okay, so they, of course, went and told everybody. Now, at your first glance, you're saying, wait a second, Jesus told them not to tell anybody. They just disobeyed Jesus? But what's that say about what happened to those men? They had so much gratitude, I don't think that Jesus was probably upset with them. So much gratitude for what he did. They couldn't help but tell everybody. Everybody needed to know. The woman at the well, very common story we hear in John chapter 4. And we know she was a woman, five husbands. She was living with a man who was not her husband, obviously in adultery. She's at the well in the middle of the day. Nobody goes in the middle of the day in the heat. They go in the morning. That's because she's a social outcast. She has an encounter with Jesus. She finds out that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who's come to save. She goes back to town. Now, here's what's amazing. She tells everyone what happened. I met a man who told me everything about myself. This is the social outcast, and guess what happens? They all listen intently. Here's a woman who goes beyond the shame that she has in that town and can't help but tell everybody about Jesus. And then the apostles, that's that close group around Jesus. They're hauled, and this is after Jesus rises, he goes to heaven. They're hauled in front of the Sanhedrin a couple times. One particular time, you find it in Acts chapter 5, they're hauled in front of them. And the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, are thinking, what are we going to do with these guys? I mean, they're thinking nasty stuff. And one of them, Gamaliel, he says, wait a second. We might want to be careful here. So they listen to him, and they decide not to do anything too severe. However, they flog them. They literally beat them. And what do we see at the end? The apostles are leaving. They are joyous because they were able to suffer for Jesus. Gratitude. That's gratitude. They knew what Jesus did for them. And so the question for us comes up, you know, about gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the great things about my discipleship group that I'm in is I bounce ideas off these guys. Sometimes I tell them that I'm using it, you know, for something like this. Sometimes I'm just, you know, I want to hear what they have to say. These are two wise guys I have. I don't mean like, yeah, wise guys from Jersey. I don't mean that kind of wise guy. I mean they are wise men. They have that basic street type of wisdom. So we talked about this. We had this actually passage. And I said, okay, what's everything? Does that mean when bad things happen, you're going to give thanks for the bad things that happen? And they said, no. They said, what it means is you have hope. You have hope in Jesus. You know God is going to be with you. You don't say, I'm thankful the bad things happened. You say, I'm thankful because of what God has promised and what Jesus has done in my life, and I know I'll carry through it. So to be thankful in everything, to give thanks, is about us recognizing God and who he is and what Jesus has done in our lives. Because look what it says on the second part of that. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. His will. When we say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, his will is that we give thanks in everything. So when that technology doesn't work quite right in my classroom, it doesn't mean I don't say, well, this is kind of, you know, I was planning on using it right now, and it's kind of not a good thing because I'm doing a lesson. But how about this? When I started teaching, I give Melita a bad time. I'm older than she is. When I started teaching, I had a blackboard, an overhead projector, a typewriter. There are no computers. Teachers didn't have computers. And if I wanted to show a movie, I had to go check out one of the 16-millimeter film projectors from the library, and there were only like three. You know, and here I am today streaming things and all that. And if the technology doesn't quite work right, well, am I going to fly off the handle? Well, it's a problem, but I need to give thanks. I need to be appreciative for what I have. So why do we struggle with this then? Why do we struggle with the gratitude part of this? Well, Timothy Keller, you haven't heard from Timothy Keller for a few weeks, have you? See, I'm getting you primed back in for when Kevin comes back. Timothy Keller says, and I think, you know, that's why Kevin uses him all the time. He's sharp. He says, it's because we have become immune to the size of the debt that Jesus paid. Think about that. We've become immune to the size of the debt that Jesus paid. So let's go into that debt. First of all, if I can turn the page here. There we go. Romans 3:23. I'm giving you basic, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ passages that you see all the time, but they are so strong. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's break that into a couple parts there. All have sinned. Every single person has sinned. Okay, Brad, obvious. Yeah, that's true. But I don't think we quite understand the depth of the sin. Second thing on there is we fall short. It doesn't say some people's sins have gotten them closer. It says we all fall short. It's a blanket statement. You sin once, you fall short. It doesn't matter what your sin is. Little white lie, it's a sin. Murder, it's a sin. You just fell short. Jesus set the bar really high. He said, you know what? You call your brother fool, that's just as bad a sin as if you murdered him. So we got no business saying, well, I'm a little closer and somebody else is a little further away. And look what the goal is, the glory of God. We've fallen short of the glory of God. It's you either pass or you fail. And we have failed miserably because none of us even comes close to the glory of God. Not even in the ballpark. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. This is the Apostle Paul, the person who wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. This is the greatest missionary in the world. And he says, I am the worst of them, the worst of the sinners. Okay, now you're going to, probably somebody's going to be, we're going to get emails, we're going to get phone calls to the office. When's Kevin coming back? Because he's got to hear what Brad just said. And here it is. I disagree with Paul. I'm the worst of sinners. I'm the worst of sinners. Oh, and by the way, each of you is the worst of sinners. See, I don't really disagree with him. I understand what he was saying, though. Paul was making it clear that there is nothing he's done since he came to Christ that erases the fact that he was the worst of sinners. And the only thing that allows him to be where he's at, the only thing that allows him to have what he has is the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Worst of sinners. All of us in here. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, wait a second, Brad. This sermon series is supposed to be about being positive. You're being really negative. Okay, I'll change the way I say it. I'm positive. We're all the worst of sinners. That helps. And what's that mean? Romans 6:23, the first part says, for the wages of sin is death. Let's break that into two parts. Wages are earned. Think about that. We have earned everything we deserve in our sin. And what is that? It is death. Death is very clear in the Bible when it's spoken about in this context. Death is separation from God forever. Forever. In hell. Now, we might have some theological interesting discussions about the nature of hell. But no matter what, it is the most unpleasant existence anybody could ever imagine. Think about how we use the phrase hell on earth. We don't describe Disneyland as hell on, well, maybe some people think so. But we don't, right? We reserve that term for the worst of the worst. That is what we earned for our sin. It's not just because, you know, we did something wrong. We earned it. That's not incidental language. I teach English, and I talked all the time to my sophomores. And those of you who either have taught sophomores or have sophomores, you know how successful I am in this. I talk to them about the use of language and how to use words, and you know, and then they're kids, all right. But that is not by accident. That is a statement that is meant to be absolutely powerful. But let's go to the second part, because we're going to turn the corner now. We're going to go positive on this now. Let's go positive. Romans 6:23, the second part of that, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, we've gone to the depths. We've gone to the bottom of the barrel, and now we're going to the top, to the penthouse. Because guess what? He gave us a gift. Remember, it's a gift. It's not anything we earned. We just found out what we earned. But he gave us a gift. He loves us so much. He wants us so much to be with him that he offered a gift. And here's what's cool about gifts. All you got to do is accept it. You don't have to earn it. Those of us who have kids, we give gifts all the time. I've got grown kids. I'm always giving stuff away. I don't understand it. Well, I do understand it. But, you know, we try it when you got to earn your way in life, son. You know, like when they're in school. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. And then when they're adults and they've moved out of the house, you're looking for ways to give them stuff. It's kind of interesting. But that's a gift. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the basis for our gratitude, the depth that we were at before Jesus came into our lives. Wow, we have got to have just unbelievable gratitude when it comes to that. Now, let's talk real specifically how it was paid. I think it's vital to understand this so we can really get a hold on why we have such gratitude. When Jesus was on the cross, if you read through and you look at it carefully, when he was nailed to the cross, didn't say a word. There's no evidence he even made a noise. You know, and this isn't a minor thing. I mean, being nailed to wood. But when it happens is this moment. When Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus and God the Father have a perfect relationship. There is not one little fault in that relationship. I think I have as close as you could get to a human perfect relationship with my wife, largely because of her. But they had the perfect relationship, and here's what Jesus did. You want a little gratitude? He said, you know what? I am going to take the punishment for all of the sin that ever will be committed by man. And we remember what that is. Separation from God. And so in the perfect relationship, God literally turned his back on his son. We go into all the how excruciating that would have been for the father. But on that cross, in that moment, Jesus felt the total earned wages of sin of all mankind by having that relationship broken momentarily on the cross. We can't even imagine the depth of that pain and that suffering. It's nothing compared to having your hands pounded into the cross. And so there's where we look to when we want to say, you want to have gratitude in your life? Think about what Jesus did for you, the depth of that. The debt that was paid. Because without that, we really have no hope. We look around this world, and if it wasn't for that, where's the hope? Where's the hope? I mean, I hear people all the time talking about, well, hopefully things will get better. But it's the same thing. I'm a history teacher, too, and people have been saying it forever. Oh, things will get better. Things will get better. The hope is in Jesus Christ. That's our gratitude. And that's what allows us every day to go through life and have problems and have to deal with them and have to discuss them, but without complaining and without having a negative approach to it. Approach that says, I know God is with me and I know he will bring me through. Now, as the band comes on, I'm going to invite you this week as your little homework. And by the way, it's the end of school year, so I'm not grading this, okay? So is this graded? No. I'm gonna invite you and encourage you to read the Bible and pray, specifically considering the debt and the depth of that debt, the size of that debt that Jesus paid for us. just kind of put that right in the forefront. Old Testament, it doesn't matter. It's all through there. God's love, God's mercy, it's all there. We're going to go to a time of reflection now. You are welcome to reflect in whatever way is appropriate for you. You want to stay in your seat. You want to stand during the song. You want to sing along. We're also going to, Melita will be right down here for prayer. I'll be right over here. If you would like to have somebody pray with you, you can pray where you're at. By the way, I want to make sure we're one thing on this prayer time. Raise your hand if you don't mind somebody walking through the aisle to get down to pray. Go ahead, raise your hand if you don't mind. Every hand went up, okay? Don't feel bad if you're in the middle. People don't care. Climb over them, man. Just say, excuse me.